C6, number 2A.
Well, yesterday we have seen that the system thinking or structural thinking really demands that we always take a problem, whatever the problem is, and don't consider it as a problem as such, but that instead of investigating and analyzing that problem, we should see that this is only a part within the bigger whole, and that therefore, unless we see the bigger whole right, we can never see the part right. Now, in the spiritual, naturally, the biggest whole that we have is the infinite one, the one infinite being. So how can we tackle that infinite question of the infinite one when one sees that one never can really understand the whole as a whole? If we would be able to understand the whole as a whole, we would have to be bigger than the whole. So we must find a way of investigating the whole through other methods than just a undifferentiated sense of the whole. You know that there is a great similarity between science and mysticism, and yet there is an enormous difference between science and mysticism. And it is absolutely necessary, really, to see the difference. In mysticism, you also go to the whole. You want to be one with the infinite one. But the infinite one in mysticism is an undifferentiated, amorphous whole. Whereas in science, the infinite one is a very differentiated, very classified and individualized whole, but still a whole. If we are adopting system thinking. So the infinite one in Christian Science is a differentiated whole of what kind of parts? Well, we know that the parts are spiritual identities. So the infinite one consists of infinite spiritual identities, but now we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't consider this infinite one as an agglomeration or an accumulation of infinitely diversified identities. This would be the old way of thinking, the machine age way of thinking. In a system and structure, the infinite identities of being are not just parts. They are all related to each other. And the relationship is really that which is most important, and not so much the parts. The parts are necessary because the whole consists of parts, but in structural thinking, really, that which matters is always to see the relationship of those parts, the relationship of the parts with the whole, the relationship of parts with other parts, and in this way, naturally seeing that the whole is always affected by the behavior of the parts and the relationship of the parts. So, this must be kept in mind, because the world at large today, anyway, those who are thinking and who are drawn more to the metaphysical side of the whole world concept, they all speak about the whole, and that we must have the whole, and that we must go out from the whole. But that doesn't mean that they mean the same thing as we do. Quite apart, they mean something very different. sometimes very opposite of what we are trying to investigate and to conceive. So just because in Christian Science and outside of Christian Science students say we must test the whole, must go out from the whole, does not mean that they are seeing the issue as a structured whole. And not even using scientific terms in explaining the whole does make it scientific. I think one has to remember that. But just by using scientific terms does not make the subject scientific. Only by using scientific methods, and using those scientific methods adapted to the whole, to the system of this infinitely differentiated whole, is really a way of approaching the whole, and is a scientific way of approaching the whole. We always come up to the same difficulties of language, just as in politics, where the people are speaking about terms and each one on both sides of the partners means something else with those terms. So let's be clear that we are not sticking to terms only. Those terms are necessary as symbols to convey or to communicate the ideas, but that we see, not the language is the thing that matters. I feel we have to be very open and very courageous about these things, that we don't feel that if we speak the same language that we mean the same. So speaking the language of Christian Science does not mean that we communicate the same meaning, not at all. And here we have it nicely expressed, especially when we consider the mystical approach to Christian Science and the scientific approach to Christian Science, or the mystical approach to the whole versus the scientific approach, the structural approach to the whole. Now, we have seen yesterday, the moment we have a new paradigm like this synthesis problem or the system thinking, that we also use new methods, have to use new methods, appropriate methods for tackling the subject. Now, this is quite a difficult thing, because the way we communicate to explain anything is language, and is a very limited human language. And human language must be seen as it is written to be very limited and therefore very inadequate in order to express the new consciousness. The language we use is either the written or the spoken language, but in both cases we use grammar. We use sentences. We use structure within a sentence, syntax, in order to convey something. But, and here comes the big point, a sentence language is very limited and really belongs to the old consciousness, to the old machine age consciousness. Because language is limited. But why is it limited? You see, in a sentence, you only can express a few terms. Only a few, so it's limited. And furthermore, it follows the law of cause and effect. You reason in a sentence. You reason how in a sentence? Only linearly. You reason from one point to the next in a linear way, not in a structural way. Therefore, the sentence language is inadequate, though it's of great use and it's of a wonderful use at the beginning, and we should use it very exactly. But it is a limited way of conveying an infinite, unlimited subject. Therefore, the new consciousness, the system, thinking uses usually a completely new language than the spoken syntax language or the written syntax language. It uses much more higher language representation, for instance, matrix. A matrix is another language. It is a language that can say with fewer symbols much more. A language that is not anymore restricted to linear rational thinking from cause to effect. The matrix language is a language that can represent structural concepts. It's a language that is so concise that you can put on one page, the moment you can read that language, the matrix language, that it can put on one page more than you can write in 1,000 pages in a sentence book. And consequently, we must get used to reading and thinking matrix-wise, because this is the adequate language, the adequate communication means, vehicle for system thinking, for structural thinking. And with this, naturally, I come to the question of matrix, and matrix has always been a word that one has feared, one disliked it perhaps, because one has never realized how simple and natural really a matrix is. You see, because we were, most of us really, were brought up in schools in an age where nobody was speaking about a matrix. We feel that this is something that we are not familiar with and can't easily get familiar with. But as I said yesterday, if the world is changing rapidly, it is because consciousness is changing rapidly, and we can't just stay back and stagnate in an old way of thinking. This is life if we change. Life is always new. And so it is life if we are also willing to change our whole way of thinking, our whole way of reading, our whole way of representing a subject like here in the matrix. Yesterday a student here gave me a very wonderful, simple example to show how each one of us here who is sitting here, from the first day they went to school, were thinking in matrices, because each one got a timetable for going to school, where on one index you had Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and on the other index you had 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, and so on. And the point of intersection told the kid what kind of lesson he gets, if it is reading or history, or not in the first class, but anyway, you know what I mean. Didn't you have such a timetable? This is a matrix. It wasn't called matrix at that time, but that is a matrix, and it's as simple as that. Now, what does it mean? Just take this timetable. What does it mean? It means nothing else than to represent a whole model. It's a model. Represent a whole educational course for the child, and telling on one page simply and clearly the time and the day where he gets this and that lesson. Can you see? It has, so to say, three values always in it: the date, the time, and the kind of lesson. And all this on just one page. The teacher didn't have to write a long treatise and tell, you know, tomorrow is the first day after the Sunday, it's Monday, and when it is Monday, you come in the morning at 8 o'clock, and then until 9 o'clock I will teach you this and that, and then go on, and then afterwards, you know, on that very same day at 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, you will do that and that. You see, it's too long. The sentence communication is too long, too burdensome. Whereas the matrix representation is so much easier, so much elegant than any other language. It's a really elegant language. It uses very few symbols, and yet it can give you an overall view of the whole subject in a very simple way. Now, most of us naturally have now got accustomed somehow to matrix use and matrix thinking. So I just can repeat quickly what is involved in a matrix. In a matrix, as we have seen, is involved what? It involves always two categories of elements, whatever those elements are. In the timetable, you had one category where were the elements of the days of the week, Monday, Tuesday, and so on. And the second category was the hours. So you had days, from your side, you had up here days, and down here the hours. You could have put them the other way around too, it doesn't matter which way you put them in the matrix. So you have two categories with elements. We call these two categories with elements, we call them the indices. So a matrix is always a model representing the relationship between the elements of two indices. That clear? So a matrix is always a model of a whole subject representing the relationships between what? Between two indices. One is written on the top, one on the left-hand side. So it is not just showing two indices. That would not be a matrix. This is only the framework of a matrix. The main point is, as we know, is that through the point of intersection of each element of the index 1 and the index 2, we called it the index I and J, as it is in mathematics, is giving new values. So every time we have a point of intersection of one element of the index I with any other element of the index J, we get a new value. And you can see that this value is not really, and this is important, is not really the outcome of the law of causation, of cause and effect. It is a point of intersection. It is free, so to say, from the law of causality. It is just a value in that one subject. Now, we build really this week's work on last year's work, and last year we have taken the textbook, the structure of the textbook in its matrix form for a whole week. So today what I want to do is just to reinforce and recapitulate what we have been doing last year and just go over quietly, in a gentle way, in a contemplating, pondering way, what the matrix of the textbook means. We know that the textbook is built up as a square matrix. You remember that it is a matrix of 4x4 chapters. And then we have seen that in this matrix, therefore, we would have to have those two indices, one the index I, which we have coined here, was this index here, and it is showing what? It is showing, I don't know if you can see it easily, the word Christ, Christianity, and science, the gospel. Therefore, what we call in Christian Science the calculus. Those four sides of the city we call in an abbreviated way the calculus of how the Word manifests itself through the Christ, bringing out the ideas of divinity, Christianity, and showing that these ideas are always one within the principle of being science. So, what we had up here was the calculus, but in the absolute sense. In an absolute sense. So actually we could have put there, you have your matrix form in front of you. We could have put here, there where you have this little diagonal or slanted line. On the top you could have put there really calculus in the absolute sense. Can write that by a big C. For instance, if we use calculus in the absolute sense, see, and when you have this, and yes, you get one there. Okay. So we were considering one index, namely, what is the calculus in absolute Christian Science? You remember that we said the calculus in absolute Christian Science in the word means what? And we said it means the revelation of God's nature. Now, I propose that we write up this matrix again together. I could have given it in a printed way. It would have been so much easier for you. But I have found over the last 2 years that the student learns much more if he has to make this matrix himself with his own handwriting, and makes a greater spiritual impact and a more lasting impact than if we give everything nicely prepared and printed, and so that the student doesn't need to make any effort at all. So we want to reword this matrix again and see the first index I is the calculus in the absolute sense, and what does it mean? We said the word of God is, and we put here, I can't write it in it because the pencil is too broad to write it so that you could actually read it. So you put in here, we had actually the revelation of God's nature. So I always pause when I have given the epitome until I see that you finished writing. The revelation of God's nature. Then we were considering the Christ in the absolute sense, and we saw that the Christ in the absolute sense is that what Mrs. Eddy tries to present with the translation of Immortal Mind on page 115, namely, the translation of God to idea. So we write in the second vertical under the Christ, translation of God to idea. When God translates himself to the point of infinite individual ideas, then what is the outcome of it? Now Mrs. Eddy describes Christianity, or the way I like to point it, or spell it, or pronounce it, Christianity, so as to distinguish it from the ordinary sense of Christianity. But for Mrs. Eddy, Christianity is the outcome of that Christ translation, and the outcome of the Christ translation is naturally that it is a realm of ideas. So we put into Christianity column the realm of ideas. The realm of ideas. What is science in an absolute sense? We have seen that here Mrs. Eddy wants to present that science in the absolute sense is the point where principle and idea is one, where we bring, so to say, Christianity, the realm of ideas, back to its principle, so that Christianity as ideas is not isolated or separate from its principle, but that it is one with its principle. So we get the sense here in the last vertical, science, you can write there, principle and idea is one. All right? Now, we come to the next index, the index J, as it is used in mathematics, meaning the index here that is written out on the left-hand side. There again we have seen it is the calculus. But the calculus in its from the relative sense, from the relative standpoint, namely how this calculus in the absolute sense, as we have written them on the top there, how that has an impact on the human level. So that actually we would have a relationship here between the absolute sense of being and the human standpoint or human experience of that absolute sense in the human experience. Therefore, what we find here as the index J would also be the calculus, but in a relative sense. So you can write there under that slanted line on the left-hand upper corner, calculus, a C and a little r, and you know that that means the calculus experienced from the relative standpoint. What would be the experience from the relative standpoint? We would have to find here those attitudes that manifest themselves in the human. The word in the human means that we accept really the statement of the absolute calculus. Therefore, we could write there in the word, or in the next one, in the word, we could write accepting the proposition.